Amen. I am rejoicing this morning because of what Jesus did for me at the cross, and I hope you are too. And I hope you're ready to honor Him with an open Bible on your lap or to your side, turning with me right there in the center of the Bible to Psalm 119. We're continuing this sermon series out of the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and we're up to verse number 9, so I'm going to ask that you keep your Bible open on your lap or to your side as my sermon. Its points will be coming from these 8 verses, verses 9 through 16 in Psalm 119. It's good to hear those pages turning. That's music to any Bible preacher's ears. You're not taking my word for it, you're taking God's word for it. And that's so extremely important. If you have your Bible open there, Psalm 119, verse 9, give me a loud, hearty amen.
Amen.
All right. Well, I want you to begin reading with me there. And the very first word of verse 9, it is a very important word. It is the word how. You know, the Bible over and over again tells us how we ought to live. And it is a very practical how-to book. And the how-to book industry is very popular right now. There are many feet of shelves in bookstores and libraries that are comprised with how-to books and manuals. And some of those how-to books and manuals are really kind of bizarre. For instance, I recently heard about one by Will Ferguson entitled How to Be a Canadian. And, you know, I think there are more and more people who are actually considering becoming Canadian here in the United States in recent years. There's another bizarre how-to book, this one by Tipton Gray, How to Be a Vampire. Without reading this book, I can pretty much assume it's not what you know, but it's who you know if you want to be a vampire. There's also how-to books on relationships. Some of you teenage girls might be interested in this one by Patricia Carlin. It's entitled, How to Tell If Your Boyfriend is the Antichrist. There are how-to books for type A personalities. For instance, this one by Erwin S. Strauss, How to Start Your Own Country. Now, you're a type A personality if you want to start your own country. How about this one for type A personalities? How to Rule the World, a handbook for aspiring dictators by André Guillemé. And then there is how-to books for animal lovers. For instance, this one by Mac O'Hare, How to Fossilize Your Hamster. And other experiments for armchair scientists. Here's this one, How to Hold a Crocodile. Now, I would imagine your first attempt at that feat might render you unable to hold anything else the rest of your life. And then there are these how-to books for survivalists. Have you noticed how everything on TV, all the talking heads, it's about a coming disaster and how you can survive it? Well, you'd be surprised how many bizarre how-to books there are out there for survivalists. For instance, this one by Ann Druffel, How to Defend Yourself Against Alien Abduction. And then there's this one by Terry Johnston, How to Defeat Your Own Clone, Other Tips for Surviving the Biotech Revolution. And then there's this one, How to Survive a Robot Uprising, Tips on Defending Yourself Against the Coming Rebellion by Daniel Wilson. And then for all you gardeners, you'll be comforted by this one, How to Survive a Gnome Attack. And then also this one, finally, The Zombie Handbook, How to Identify the Living Dead and Survive the Coming Zombie Apocalypse by Rob Chateto. Well, my friend, those aren't very practical how-to books. But if you want to see a practical how-to manual, it's right here in Psalm 119 and verse number 9. It begins with that word how and gives this query, How can a young man cleanse his way? Oh, friend, that is practical right where we live every day of our lives. Psalm 119 is such a wonderful chapter. I've already told you it's the longest chapter in the Bible, 176 verses. Let me give you some more details just as an overview about Psalm 119. Those 176 verses are divided into 22 sections, each one of those 22 sections having 8 verses apiece. And so it is interesting to note the division there, especially when you realize these 22 sections correspond to the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. As a matter of fact, most of you in your Bible can look above verse number 1 and you can see inscribed there is a heading, the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. It is the A letter, the corresponding A letter for the English language. It is the letter in the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph. And it is interesting that every one of the 8 verses in that section, the Aleph section, began with the Aleph letter or the A letter of the Hebrew alphabet. For instance, the very first word in verse 1 in the Hebrew language is spelt with an aleph. It is the word ashrei. And in your English translation, you know it's the word blessed. I more accurately translated it for you last week as happy in the plural. Happy, happy with an exclamation point. And what the rest of that psalm tells us is how we can be happy by reading and following this book, the Word of Almighty God. And so every one of the verses there in that first section begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph, which corresponds with our A letter in the English language. Why did the writer of Hebrews choose this formula? Well, it was a memory tool to teach children the Hebrew alphabet. And so now we come to the second section of Psalm 119, and we see the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet. You will see it right above verse number 9. It is the word or the letter Beth. Now, obviously, many of you also recognize that that letter Beth corresponds with our English letter B. But it is also a word. As a matter of fact, there are many place names in the Bible that begin with the prefix Beth. What does Beth mean in the Hebrew tongue? It means house. For instance, when we read about Bethlehem, we're talking about the house of bread. When we read about Bethel, El being the name for God, we're talking about the house of God. In the New Testament, when we read about that place called Bethsaida, it is the house of the fisherman, a place where Simon Peter once lived by coincidence. And so when we look at this second section of Psalm 119, it's not only the letter Beth, but it's the word Beth, and every one of the 8 verses in this second section begin with the Hebrew letter Beth. Which brings me to my point today about the Word of God. We must have the Word of God housed within our hearts if we want to live a clean life and a life that is close to Almighty God. This book right here must be bethed or housed in my heart. This blessed book must be at home in my heart. And that's the whole point of this practical how-to question of verse number 9. Looking there again, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Here's how. By taking heed according to your word. Just another synonym for this blessed book that you hold in your hands, and thus the title for this sermon series, Thy Word. And then he goes on and enlarges on that idea, these introductory verses in verse 10. With my whole heart I have sought you. This is not the first time he said that he's doing something wholeheartedly. Go back to verse number 2. He uses that expression again. Blessed are them that keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. I'm not to be half-hearted when it comes to my study and my use of this blessed book in my daily life. It is supposed to be so second nature to me that it becomes a part of me and it is housed or it is bathed within my heart. This book, the Bible, is at home in the heart of the believer. Now, if this book is truly at home in your heart, if it's truly bathed and housed in your heart, several things will be true about you. First of all, according to verse number 11, this book will be hidden in your heart. Looking there, verse number 11, it says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Now, what is that talking about? That's talking about taking the words of this book and internalizing them, treasuring them so much that you memorize them. This is what the Bible encourages us to do over and over again. Paul said as much in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16. He said that we should allow the Word of God to dwell in us richly. That's what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 18. "Therefore you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul." Moses said, listen, take the Word of God and house it or bath it in your heart. I know when we talk about memorization, that is something that many of us, most of us, feel like we're not good at. I hear many, many people saying, "Pastor, I just can't memorize Scripture." But you have no trouble memorizing websites without even writing them down. I could tell you to go to so-and-so website, and if it's something you were intrigued about, something you were interested in, you wouldn't even have to write it down. You would remember that website. I know people that say they're bad at memorization that have memorized whole books of recipes. I know guys and gals that are so enamored with their own sports heroes that they have memorized all the statistics of their favorite sports hero. Or some of you are so much into these games, these video games, that you've memorized all the attributes of your fantasy figure that you play every day. We memorize what is important to us. And if this book is not important to you, you're not going to hide it in your heart. You're not going to memorize it. And my friend, if we're a believer, if we're a child of God, this book ought to be close to us. It ought to be in us. It was in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, each one of those three times he deflected the attack of the evil one by quoting Scripture. Now, Jesus didn't have a bunch of scrolls of the Word of God underneath his arm when he was in the wilderness. No, he was at a bare minimum there, but he had so internalized the Word of God that it just came out of him. When he was confronted by temptation, it just came out of him. And that's why the second part of verse 11 is so true. "Thy word have I hidden in my heart." Why? "So that I might not sin against God." You know, when we get tempted, it's often not in a worship service like this with a Bible in your hands or on your lap or to your side. When you get tempted, it's often when you don't have a Bible available to you. And in those moments, you need to be able to recall the Scripture that will enable you to successfully deflect that attack from the evil one. Oh, friend, if this book is at home in your heart, if this book, the Word of God, has been bathed and housed in your heart, it will be hidden there. But not just that. Look at verse 12 and 13. Because if the Bible is at home in my heart, it'll not only be hidden there, but it will be expressed. That's what verses 12 and 13 talks about. Look at it here, every eye. Verse 12, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." Very important here, because my friend, you can't express what you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. And so here is a very teachable spirit by the psalmist. A very humble spirit by the psalmist, and he is saying, "Lord, I want you to take this book right here, and I want you to teach me everything that is in this book. Why? So I can do verse 13. Look at verse 13. Every eye there. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. God, I want to know everything about your word so I can express it, so I can declare it, so I can share it, so I can tell it to other people who do not know it. I believe that's why everybody here needs to be in a Sunday school class. You need to each week be here on a Sunday morning where you're sitting under the godly teaching of a man or a woman who has studied the Word of God all week, who have prayed over it and are now prepared as they teach you God's holy inspired Word. And then as you learn the Word of God, what are you to do with it? You're to be a channel of blessing. You're not just to keep it all to yourself. You're to express it. You're to share it with other people. And I'll tell you, friend, that begins at home. It begins at home. That's what Moses said in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6. There it tells us so plainly, all these words which I command you today shall be in your heart, that you shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house. You shall walk by the way when you lie down and when you rise up. Oh, friend, I am to express the blessed truths of this word at home first, but it doesn't end there. It extends out, just like the concentric circles of a stone that's thrown into a pond. I am to go to all of my human relationships and share with them the Word of God. That's why many of our high school students are not here today. They're down in the Florida Keys working with Mexican migrant workers' children to go down there and to share the truths of this blessed book, to express it to them out of love and concern. That's why Brenda Clifton is going with all of her workers this next Tuesday to Eastgate. Why are they doing that? To express the Word of God to those who need it. I'm so blessed by all of our church members. I hear testimonies from all of you about how you witness. We're all to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and share the blessed truths of God's Word. I'm so impressed with what Tom Hudson has recently done. Actually, it's been for quite some time. Tom's sitting up there in the balcony with his wife, Shelby. For some time now, Tom has been buying bulk boxes of Bibles, and he gives those Bibles away as a witnessing too, just in his daily rounds of life. And what he has done is he's pasted a little website that he has created himself so that once this person receives the Word of God through his witness, they're able to go to this website that he's created. And you might want to copy down this website, www.foreverheaven.info. Tom was telling me just this morning that in June alone, he's gotten 600 hits on this website that he has created, a layman in our church. And it's from people in Germany, from people in Japan, from people in China, from people in the Ukraine. 600 people that the Word of God is being expressed to. My friend, we're supposed to express the Word of God, whether it be through technology, through the internet, whether it be through acts of kindness, or through it, words that we audibilize to people. This is what it's all about, to have this book housed or bathed within your hearts. Okay, watch this as we continue unpacking the rest of this section, this Beth section of Psalm 119. If God's Word is at home in my heart, it will H, be hidden, it will E, be expressed, it will A, be appreciated. Verse 14, look at it there, every eye. The psalmist says, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. What is the psalmist saying here? He is saying, man, alive, I appreciate this book. I rejoice in it as much as in all, not as in some riches, but as in all riches. Is that the way you feel about this book? Is it really? What if you went to the mailbox tomorrow and you found a letter in the mailbox there from a reputable law firm, and you opened it up and you found out that you had inherited, listen to this, $1 million. Wouldn't you rejoice? Wouldn't you appreciate that? Well, my friend, I've got news for you. God has given you something that is worth more than $1 million. It's worth more than all riches. According to the psalmist, it is this blessed book. Do you appreciate this book? Do you rejoice in this book? If it's not bathed in your heart, if it's not at home in your heart, if it's not housed in your heart, you don't appreciate it. You really don't. You don't know what a treasure book you have right here in your hands. Oh, friend, if the Bible is at home in my heart, it'll be H hidden there. It'll be E expressed. It'll be A appreciated. But not only this, going to verse 15, it'll be R ruminated. Look at it there in verse number 15. I like this. It says, I will meditate, or I, in other words, will ruminate. I'm going to reflect on what? He says, I'm going to meditate, ruminate on your precepts, and I'm going to contemplate. Again, just another way of saying, I'm going to ruminate and reflect and think about and focus on your ways, the ways of the Word of God. Now, friend, to ruminate and reflect and meditate and contemplate on the Word of God takes time. It takes time. And that's the reason so many of you don't meditate on the Word of God. You pat yourself on the back for opening up the Bible for 15 minutes in the morning and reading your scripture and saying a scripture a day keeps the devil away. Just like an apple a day keeps the devil away. You close it up and go on to more important things like reading the sports page or going on and getting ready for the rest of your day. And you've done your duty. You've done your due diligence. You've been 15 minutes in the Word of God. Pat yourself on the back. Well, friend, you haven't done anything. You need to take that Word of God, and it's going to take time. And you just need to reflect on it. You need to let it ruminate. You need to contemplate and meditate. And so many of you are so busy, you don't have time to focus on the Word of God. That word meditate in the original language of the Bible means to chew over again. Just to allow it to simmer up and just bubble up in your life. Just a slow simmer in your life so that you can continually think about it and reflect upon it. This last Friday, Amy got all kinds of vegetables out of the garden in our backyard. Tomatoes, green beans, corn, and other vegetables. And she put them all in a big pot. And she started putting that pot on top of the stove, and man, it started bubbling and gurgling and simmering there, and man, it started smelling good in the whole house. And by lunchtime, we had a big bowl of vegetable soup. But it didn't stop there, man. After lunch, she cut up some more vegetables, put it in there, and let it just simmer and bubble and gurgle over just real slowly the rest of the day. And we had it again yesterday for lunch. You know when it was the best tasting? It was yesterday. After it had a chance to just kind of bubble and simmer and think about it. That's what we ought to let this book do in our lives. Just not do a quick microwave reading of it, but just let it simmer. Just let it kind of bubble up in our life. And let it be a part of us. And that takes time. Is this book in your heart? Is this book bathed in your heart? Is it housed in your heart? Oh, I can tell real quick if it is, and you can too. If it is, it'll be hidden there. You'll know it. You'll memorize it. If it truly is in your hearts, if it's really there, you're going to express it. You're going to want other people to know about it because you appreciate it. It's like riches. It's like treasure to you. And because of that, man, it's not just going to be a quick read, but you're just going to get into it. And you're just going to let it simmer over and over and over again in your mind. Just like to bubble over in your mind. Chew it over and over and over again. Just ruminate it. But friend, if God's word is at home in my heart, these things will not only be true, but it'll also be true in verse 16 that it will be thrilling. That's what the psalmist says here in the first part of verse 16. He says, I will delight. I've underlined that word delight. I will delight myself in your statutes. That word delight in the original language of the Bible, the Hebrew tongue, is the word estasha. And it literally means to skip about, to jump for joy. Man alive, this book delights me so much. It excites me so much that I just feel like skipping about. I feel like jumping for joy. I don't know that we have many Sunday school classes like that around here. I think we ought to start a new Sunday school class at First Baptist Church Noonan, and we ought to call them the Jumpers and the Skippers. Because a lot of times when I walk by in these hallways and I look into these Sunday school classes, it's like somebody just died. Man, they're not excited. They're not jumping for joy. They're not thrilled about the Word of God. They're not delighting in the Word of God. We need to start a whole new breed of Bible studiers around here that are jumpers and skippers, excited about what God's Word has done in my life. Man, you walk by their Sunday school class, you look in there, they're just all, there's no chairs in there. They're just jumping and skipping around. They're excited about what the Word of God has to say to their lives. Is that the way you feel about it? You don't, if it's not here, if it's not housed here in your heart. You just don't feel that way about it. If it's here in your heart, there'll be one more thing that's true about you. I left off reading in the middle of verse 16. It will be stored in your heart. Look at what the psalmist says. He says, I will not forget your word. Lord, your word is living and active. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide both joint and marrow, both soul and spirit. And because it is quick and alive, I'm going to put it right here in my heart. You probably don't know the name William J. Kirkpatrick. William J. Kirkpatrick was a song leader in a bygone era, and he often led revival meetings and camp meetings. He would be the song leader for these things. He was called on for his ministry on many, many occasions. And on one particular week of camp meetings, he employed the services of a gifted soloist, a young man who had all kinds of talent, beautiful, beautiful voice. But as the week progressed, Kirkpatrick noticed something about him that troubled him. He would do his part in the opening part of the service. He would sing his solo beautifully. People would be on the edge of their seats, just enamored by his talent. And then when the music was over, he would just leave. He would just leave. He wouldn't stay for the preaching. You know, I've noticed this as a pastor now for 30 years, youth minister and a senior pastor, that a lot of times when people aren't living for God, they don't want to stick around for the Word of God. They don't want to hear what the Word of God has to say because it convicts them to the core. And so they find any excuse to go to the bathroom, find any excuse to go out to the parking lot, make sure no one's stolen their battery, just you name it. They look for all kinds of excuses to do that. And that was this young man. It so troubled the song leader, Kirkpatrick, that he wrote a song that week, all in one week. And he intended to give it to this young soloist and have him sing it before the week was over. The lyrics of the song go this way. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Now I'm coming home. My strength renew, my hope restore. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord. I'm coming home. I've strayed from your word. When I was a youngster, it used to be right here. I remember those days. But somewhere in the course of time, I've done what verse 10 says, and I have wandered from your word. I have wandered from your commandments, and I feel a million miles away from you. Kirkpatrick gave the lyrics and the melody to the young man at the end of that week of camp meetings and asked him to sing it that night. The young man sang the song, "Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home." And this night, he stayed for the word. He stayed for the preaching. And when the invitation was offered, he was the first one to step out in the aisle and come down to the altar and get his heart right with God. I'm preaching to a lot of people today that used to have this book right here in your heart, but it's not there anymore. It's on a coffee table with dust collecting on it, and it's not hidden there. It's not expressed. It's not appreciated. It's not ruminated. It's not thrilled over, and it's not stored there. And my friend, it's time to stop wondering. It's time to come home. Come back home. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed. Coming home, coming home, never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love, Lord, I'm coming home. God, I remember when your word used to be so important to me. I remember as a youngster going to Vacation Bible School. I remember as a teenager going to Sunday school. I remember just not being able to wait until the doors of the church house were open so I could sit underneath the preaching and the teaching of God's word so I could learn more about it. But God, I've wandered far from your truth, and I need to come home. That's the testimony of many of us today. Others today have never trusted Jesus. You've never accepted his free offer of grace. It's no accident you're here today. God wants to save you. He wants to give you true happiness and joy if you'll trust him in this hour, in this moment. Maybe it could be that God is speaking to you about another decision. You've been praying about a church home, and God is now speaking to you about joining the life of this church. I don't know what it is, but I do know one thing. If he is speaking, I hope you're listening, and I hope you're following and not wandering from his truth. So, Father, in this moment, we hear your voice, and we follow you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.